Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The crowd at Wrigley making noise, trying to help Saya at the plate. The payoff pitch. Swing and a miss. Strike three. Ball game over. The Reds sweep the Cubs, taking the finale 8-5.
Cubs, in fact, get swept by the Cincinnati Reds. Reds 8, Cubs 5 yesterday. Right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. I'm Mark Grody, here with you up until the start of Cubs baseball. The Cubs bring on the Rays starting today. Broadcast begins at 12:45. First pitch is at 1:20 to be made by Marcus Stroman of the 2.95 ERA. Cubs lineup goes down like this. It'll be Miles Mastroboni leading off and playing third. Nico Horner, the second baseman. Ian Happ hitting third and playing left, while Suzuki will be the right fielder. And obviously your cleanup hitter, Dansby Swanson, the shortstop, batting five. Michael Tauchman is back out there and in center field and batting sixth. You've got Rios as the DH today for the Cubs. Matt Mervis back in there hitting eighth and playing first base. And Barnhart is the catcher, as in Tucker, batting ninth for the Cubs. So very interesting lineup today for the Cubs, who may be looking for a little bit of a spark out there. They will be batting against Taj Bradley of the Rays, 3-1 with a 4.44 ERA. And to talk more about the Cubs and what's been going down and what to look forward to, we go to Wrigley Field and bring in Andy Martinez, a Cubs writer for Marquee Sports Network. And Andy, what's going on, man? How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm well. So what do you think of the lineup today? Just a little bit of a shakeup there to maybe attempt to spark some things for the Cubs, who just got swept and have lost four in a row overall?
Yeah, that was the message that David Ross had just not too long ago when he met with us here at Wrigley. He spoke about, like, they're still getting on base, right? They're still getting guys on base, and they're just not getting the clutch hitting or the timely hitting to push across runs. And that was kind of the thinking about moving someone like Dansby Swanson to the five hole, who's hit primarily in the two spot all year, to move him down that five hole, so that when guys are on base, when there's opportunities, you theoretically would think that Dansby Swanson, who's the best hitter, has been the best player so far this year, like, he's the guy that can help push across those runs. And kind of same thing with moving just everyone down in the order like that, where like Nico Horner, maybe, like, if he comes up with Miles Mastroboni on base, he can move the line, and Ian Happ and Cesar behind him can follow suit. So that was the thinking, is to try and switch things up a little bit, because, yeah, like you talked about, and the record has shown that things are just not going their way right now.
Well, that was actually a very good explanation of the lineup and what David Ross specifically is trying to do for the Cubs, and it's good. I mean, a lot of people say, well, manager can't go out there and hit, manager can't go out there and pitch, but what a manager can do is shake things up in the lineup and try different things, and that's the position that Ross is in. How much criticism do you think that David Ross does deserve on the overall, though, for this Cubs slide and this 22-30 record right now?
Yeah, it's definitely a fair question. I'm not too sure that he deserves a whole ton of criticism. He definitely deserves some criticism for sure. But a lot of the decisions that he's made, like, sometimes they're not the wrong decision per se, right? It's like the way I look at it in decision making is, like, when the decision is made, if you think about it and you say that's probably the right move, then even if it goes wrong, hindsight obviously is 20/20, and then you can you can decipher it all you want and realize, like, yeah, that was the wrong move, but because you had the benefit of hindsight. In the moment, when you kind of, there's not been a whole lot of moments where you're kind of thinking, like, what's going on here? What is he doing here? The he mentioned yesterday bringing in Jeremiah Estrada, who's been one of their best relievers, to relieve Drew Smyly, who's been one of their best starters. Like, that was the right decision in the moment, and Jeremiah Estrada didn't deliver. I go back to the Houston finale in against the Astros in Houston. Like, it was the right decision to bring in Mark Leiter Jr. in the eighth inning against the top of the Astros lineup. Mark Leiter Jr. gave up a pair of runs, and then after that, that's when Keegan Thompson kind of had his struggles, and the Astros come back and rally from a 6-1 deficit to win. Like, all those are in the moment the right decision. It's easy to have hindsight and look back and think, oh, yep, like that was the wrong decision. You should have done X, Y, or Z. Like, that's always easy to do. But I think in the right moment, he's been doing the right decisions. It's just the things aren't going well for him. No matter what decision, it seems like even if he had a 100% guarantee on the decision, it would somehow find a way to go wrong. So it's been a weird stretch for them that, like, seems like everything is going right, and then it just doesn't.
Let me throw this one at you then, just as a pertain, because that all makes sense, because there's no egregious errors by David Ross, and that's the word that I've been using in, you know, to quote unquote defend David Ross. How about on Saturday, though, when Jameson Taillon is out there, he's struggling. It's the right move to pull him for sure, and then you sneak in a Michael Fulmer in the fifth inning, and then it goes badly for him in that spot right there. So that I don't know. Did you like the idea of him pitching in the middle of the game as opposed to the end of the game?
I did, because you can look up the numbers in the ninth inning. He just hasn't been the same reliever as he has been other times. So in that decision, I was actually in the same moment where I'm like, it's interesting, but I think it's the right decision in that moment. And again, Fulmer just did not deliver like that. And that's kind of the way it's going, where, like, they still think Fulmer is one of their better leverage arms, but that he has to kind of work himself back into the situation. So a situation like that fifth inning, to bring him in is a good example. If they use him in the sixth inning coming up, like, those are good pockets to try and get him back on track so that you can turn to him in higher leverage situation, because with him, the stuff seems to be there. It's just that he's just either run into crummy luck or he's just gotten hit hard. And that, frankly, is tough when he was supposed to be one of your anchors in your bullpen.
Yeah, no doubt about it. What about the Judd Hoyer? Because we're not talking about this. It's a really good conversation, I think, that Cubs fans are having in terms of what this team is, what it's supposed to be. Are they meeting expectations? Are they going above the expectations? But I look at it as, if the Cubs are in some segment of the rebuild, this is still Judd Hoyer's show more than anybody's. Not just because of, you know, he's the boss, but because when you are carefully putting a team back together, whatever phraseology you want to use, it's his show. There's probably going to be more direction from the GM to the manager now than there would be in theory a few years down the road. So my long-winded way of saying and asking, isn't this really all about Judd Hoyer to the highest degree and then a lesser degree with Ross and the rest of the organization, at least right now?
Yeah, I think that's definitely fair. I mean, it's all about, like, what roster decisions are being – how is the roster being constructed? What options does David Ross have at his disposal? And just earlier in this homestand, Judd Hoyer mentioned, like, the bullpen. The bullpen's no secret that it's been a struggle for the Cubs this season. He mentioned, Judd Hoyer said, like, that's on me. We didn't construct a good enough bullpen to put Ross in situations where, like, he has to turn to Michael Fulmer in the fifth inning, whether it's the right or wrong decision. Like, that's his option in that situation. He has to turn to Jeremiah Estrada after Drew Smyly, because that's his option. Like, those are situations where that he's put in because of Judd Hoyer, and that's something that Judd Hoyer frankly mentioned, like, that's on him. And Judd Hoyer has shown the desire, the firm-headedness, I don't know what phrase you want to use, but to go with the big roster decisions, to bring in Matt Mervis and designate Eric Hosmer a little later for assignment, to bring up Christopher Morel when the team first started going on a struggle to kind of try and spark the offense. Like, he is going in that situation, but the truth of the matter is like, right now there's no more levers to pull, right? There's not, unless Nick Madrigal or someone starts really having success in AAA, like, there's not many other levers he can pull to try kind of kickstart things. Like this is the roster as it's constructed. Like that's just the reality of the situation.
Yeah, and one of your greatest momentary hopes for the future is Matt Mervis, although he has struggled. How do you think that they will handle Matt Mervis? Do you think they're going to continue to let him, and I know he's been hitting the ball better, are they going to continue to let him work it out? Is this an extended stay, or is he on borrowed time right now?
No, I mean, that was one thing that David Ross, Jed Hoyer, they all mentioned when he first came up. Like, he's not coming here to be on the bench, right? Like, he's coming here to play, and he's going to be on the roster. And, yeah, if the matchup doesn't work out or if he's played, like, six in a row or something, they're obviously going to rest him and not have him in those situations where it doesn't help him to succeed. But he's going to be playing every day. Like, how are you going to learn to face better pitching if you're not facing it, right? Like, it's kind of like a dumb thing to think about, but it's the reality, right? Like, you don't get better by not facing it. You don't get better by only facing the weaker arms. And frankly, in Major League Baseball, and especially the stretch that the Cubs are on where they're facing the Tampa Bay Rays, the best team in baseball, and then they go on the tough West Coast trip. Like, they're going to be facing a lot of good arms that he's on the roster. You can't hide him, even if he's struggling. Like, so you want him to get that experience, but he can be better maybe in – it might not be, he might go over 4 one day, but if he learns from it and the next day or in a week later he's having some hits off of some of the off-speed pitching that he's facing, like that's a win long term for the Cubs.
Really good stuff with Andy Martinez, Cubs writer for Marquee Sports Network. I'm Mark Grody on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score. A couple more questions for you before I let you go and cover that Cubs-Rays game, Andy. Marcus Stroman going today. It's a big start for him just because the Cubs have been sliding. He's been excellent. Why do you think he's been so good?
I mean, I think he's just healthy and he's got his rhythm. He mentioned at the beginning of the spring training, at the beginning of the season, like, the WBC is a big thing for him that in 2017, the last time when he pitched for Team USA and had success, like, it spurred him on to have a good 2017 season. And he said that he thought there was a chance that could happen again this year. And he's been more than right. He's just pitching those high atmosphere games right off the beginning of spring training and then coming in and pitching these moments. He's looked really good outside of the Dodgers start. He's looked really, really good. And there was another start where I think he went 2 2/3, but for the most part, he's been really, really good for the Cubs. That he's kind of stabilized the rotation. That, like, you know, 9 times out of 10, maybe even more than that, that he is going to go out there and at least give you a chance to win the game. And when you're facing the Tampa Bay Rays in a really tough matchup, that's all you can ask for. I think there was also too, like, I don't want to discredit the defense behind him. He's a contact first pitcher that the ball is going to be put in play a lot, and you have guys like DeAndre Swanson and Nico Horner up the middle that should be getting a little bit more, a few more outs than he would have with a different defense.
And I know everybody's allowed to slump, have some off starts, but is everything okay with Justin Steele after just getting clobbered by the Reds on Friday?
I think so. I mean, I think he was a little due. It's kind of like a weird word to
fair,
say, right? Like,
fair,
like,
yeah.
he's just been so good that you just knew he couldn't. I mean, you would take it if he was that good for every start, but, like, you just knew, like, eventually he was gonna have to come down. And that, someone can correct me on the stat, but on May 26th against the Reds last year, he struggled, gave up a lot of runs, and then this year he did. So maybe there is just something about May 26th against the Reds. Like, just don't pitch him that. If that comes up next year, just don't pitch Justin Steele.
Oh, man, that's good. That's good detective work right there. So circle May 26th for Justin Steele for the foreseeable future. Andy, really good stuff, man. Thanks for jumping on with us here on Memorial Day. And enjoy. I hope it's a beautiful – is it a beautiful day? I haven't been outside my apartment yet today. What's it like out there?
It's a great day for a ball game. It's an absolutely gorgeous day. And if you have to work on Memorial Day, there's worse places to be than Wrigley Field right now.
Amen, man. Have a great rest of your day, and hopefully we'll talk to you soon here on The Score.
Thank you. You too. Have a good one.
All right, man. Andy Martinez, Cubs writer for Marquee Sports Network. Oh, yeah. I've covered my fair share of holiday, summer. Hey, name the summer holiday, and I've been at a ballpark. And as Andy Martinez said, that's not the worst place in the world to be. When you're working is at a ballpark. But folks, it is work. Cubs and Rays coming up at 12:45. I'm going to see what's going on in the text line for you and wrap up our show however we want to over the next 20 minutes or so. If you want to get in, we're open. We're opening it up. It's call, ask anything. It's call in anything. And I will definitely have some things that I would like to talk about at 312-644-6767. It's Mark Grody on Memorial Day on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's get back to more Mark Grody on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We're back. Texter asks, hi, Mark. Is 500 a reasonable expectation for the Bears this season? Well, you know, you can't be 500, but you know that. I know what you mean. Yeah, that's about right. A few more wins. But I think what is going to happen to the Bears is the same thing that is happening to the Cubs. And that is that no matter how measured the fans might sound, like Cubs fans even before this season, there's expectation. There is expectation. The Cubs, I heard Cubs fans booing on Saturday. There were audible boos, and I'm sure that wasn't the only time. But that caught my ear because that tells me everything, that Cubs fans expect more and bought in a little bit to the early success of this team. So to Cubs fans, it's not okay if they lose, even though they were pretty measured about it before the season. You want more, and it's the same thing is going to happen with the Bears because you put up with a 10-game losing streak last year. You put up with that crap. So even if people are saying, this texter is saying, is being measured and saying, this 500 a good expectation? Because that's I know you're thinking, hey, man, that's improvement. But you won't be thinking about improvement once the season starts. You won't be thinking, well, this is better than last year when we lost 10 straight games because we got 6 wins this year. No way. No way. So I'm predicting right now that if the Bears are 1 or 2 games under 500 halfway through the season, I don't think people are going to be happy, and they might be booing at Soldier Field. So it always sounds good to be measured and to ease into it, but guess what? Nobody's going to want the Bears to be 500 next year. It's an easy call for me. It's an easy call for me, but it's a good text. 312-644-6767. That's the text line. This is also the phone line, and that's where we find Anthony in St. Charles. Hello, Anthony.
What's up, Mark? How are you?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. So, favorite meat inside at a family barbecue? That's all I got for you.
Oh, thanks, man. I appreciate the question. I would go, just a really good, medium, rare, juicy burger with a slice of cheese, a slice of raw. That's onion. That's how my dad says it. You gotta have a slice of raw on there. Gotta have a slice of raw. And a dollop of ketchup. That to me is the best. And then side, probably potato salad. I'll keep it simple. If you want me to like actually tell you my favorite side of all time, though, if I'm really being honest, it's just not. Well, this might be popular. Is the seafood salad at Jewel? Oh, I don't know what it is. I'm not positive that there's any seafood in there. No, I think the shrimp is real, right? It's just so good. It's just like the mayonnaise portion to the mayonnaise to fake seafood quotient is just absolutely deluxe. But that's a good, yeah, we haven't really done the spirit of Memorial Day question. So if you got a favorite meat, the favorite side, and you want to text it in 312-644-6767. I think David Montgomery caught all of our ears the other day. David Montgomery, the former Chicago Bears running back, who is always a good soldier with the Bears. He always seemed to have a healthy respect for the legacy of the organization, for Walter Payton. He was a grinder of a player, and you know, apparently he bubbled over in terms of he got sick of playing for the Bears. That's the easiest way for me to sum it up. You're going to hear from David Montgomery in his own words, but it was a little bit baffling last year when Ryan Poles was talking about David Montgomery and how he definitely singled him out as a guy that he would like back here, and it seemed like David Montgomery wanted to be with the Bears just based on the way he talks about the organization. But that clearly was not the case. He chose to leave the Bears. David Montgomery did not want to play with the Bears anymore, and that's clearer than ever when you listen to David Montgomery right here wearing a Detroit Lions uniform.
I seen you work out in Houston, you know what I'm saying? So I respect your game. Every time I play Chicago Bears, we scheme for you. Oh, my mama. You know what's so crazy? You've been through trials and tribulations with the losses.
No question, bro. That's all I was used to. Then it got to a point where, like, it sucked the fun out of the game for me because I'm a competitor. Mm-hmm. I like to compete. That's what football is about. But, like, it's so refreshing to be able to be in a place where that's appreciated and that's what you get to do.
All right. And, you know, this is not one of those things where, how dare you, David Montgomery, taking little shots at the Bears on your way out. I mean, there's no, like, you don't really have a position if you were a Bears supporter in this. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, the Bears didn't, they've been horrible. And David Montgomery has not been a big part of why the Bears have been horrible. You know what I mean? Like, he's not a perfect player. You know, he's replaceable, like all that kind of stuff. But he's not wrong. I mean, I wouldn't blame anybody for ditching the Bears after enduring a 10-game losing streak. I mean, players, a guy like that, you know? Now, I hope that there's not more to it than David Montgomery is letting on, because that also tells me, unfortunately, that David Montgomery, not only was he sick of the losing and maybe scarred from it, but it also says that David Montgomery clearly does not believe in the immediate future of the Bears either. And I think that's what it says more than anything, that he doesn't think that this thing is going anywhere, right? Obviously, and especially not this year. If he actively wanted to leave the Bears because he was tired of the losing, then he is predicting that the losing is going to continue. So that's a little scary to think that a guy who I think is, you know, an intelligent, good locker room presence and all of that, that if he is saying that about that team, or at least this is what I'm perceiving him, I am inferring from his comments that he is saying that the Bears they're still a ways off. Or maybe he doesn't believe. I know this. He got sick of answering questions about Justin Fields. I don't know if that has anything to do with him, whether or not he believes in him or not. I mean, I don't think we get a truthful answer necessarily from anybody. Why would we? I mean, David Montgomery is not going to tell us, oh, yeah, this guy's bad. But there were times where he actively rolled his eyes, you know, when we would ask him about Justin Fields and, you know, here we go again. Now I got to break out the list of synonyms to describe this guy and how good he is and all of that. So I think he got tired of that and losing. And you could tell too. I mean, like I mentioned the media stuff. When we would talk to the media at large, you never knew what you're going to get out of David Montgomery towards the end of his time here. And like, it's all starting to like click in my head. Like, he was sick of the losing, and because of that, it was dreadful for him to have to talk to the media. And he could have been better with us. I mean, there were times where I was like, come on, man. Like people would ask questions, and he would unpurposely be, you know, confrontational or whatever, or just not be serious. He would not be serious a lot of times with us in the press conferences. And it's just adding, it's just like I'm getting it now. He was not happy. He was not a happy guy. Not happy with the Bears, and I guess you take him on his word, not happy with the losing. But it does frighten me a little bit that that might open the window to David Montgomery thinking that the Bears don't have a, you know, immediate future, or one that, because that's what you want to hear if you're a Bears fan. You don't want to hear about the Bears being 6 or 7 games under 500 again this year or anything like that. You want to hear about the Bears being successful this year. And I think that David Montgomery thinks the Bears are still a long way off from that. 312-644-6767 is the number. I do have confirmation from the text line here. I loved Jules seafood salad, and it's really good. I don't know what it is. Sometimes I think maybe I am sensitive to good mayonnaise. I think that's what it is, because I think there's good mayonnaise in there. The reason I say that I have mayonnaise powers too is because you know which sandwich shop has the best mayonnaise? It's Jimmy John's, and I like all of the sandwich shops, okay? And I'm not doing an endorsement for Jimmy John's here. There's just something about the mayonnaise to bread to meat to lettuce tomato quotient in a Jimmy John's. From the 847, maybe if Montgomery could run faster, then my grandfather, or could score from inside the 5-yard line, they wouldn't have lost so much. No, look, hey, David Montgomery was a professional football player for the Chicago Bears who had some nice years, who had some really nice moments. He was a good player, all of that kind of stuff. But no, just far from a difference maker, far from a guy who one should lose sleep over losing. It's a loss. I mean, let me, you know, let's be straight up. Losing Montgomery, that's not good, but it is, you can overcome that. A lot of people are excited too. And why not? He's a rookie. He's a draft pick, so you should be excited about him. And that's Roschon Johnson, the running back, the backup running back out of Texas. Roschon Johnson. Clay Harbor talking a big game about Roschon Johnson earlier, you know, that he could compete for actual runs. I don't think so. We'll see how many actual carries out of the backfield Roschon Johnson gets, but my guess is definitely not a lot right away, especially because it's going to be Khalil Herbert, by the way. I was at the OTAs. They are posing Khalil Herbert as the number one running back. Could change. Dante Foreman, obviously, is, you know, 1B. Travis Homer, he's out there. And then, let's just see with Roschon Johnson what he can do and what he's capable of. So we have no idea. Saw him out there and he looked fine, but there's no pad popping. And hell, I mean, what can a running back show in, you know, really difficult until they actually put the pads on with these guys, Roschon Johnson. So we shall see what the Cubs or what the Bears might have in order for him as well. Mark, happy Memorial Day. For dessert, Jewel brownies. Yum. Yeah, Jewel brownies. I got no problem with that at all. From the 630, this is on the Cubs, by the way. Grody, I think it's okay for them, the Cubs, to lose, but they spent $300 million in the offseason. It's a reasonable expectation for the Cubs to play 500 baseball. And I think we saw them doing it for a lot of this year. And I think that there is a fear that the bottom is dropping out and that they are coming back to the mean, and the mean might be last place where they are right now. I don't think it is. I really think the Cubs are going to get back to hovering around 500. Some of that will be dictated at the trade deadline, I think, too. Like, because obviously if you start signing or trading guys off, everything will change. But I think that we saw enough. I mean, it depends on what you believe. Do you believe in the good that you saw from the Cubs earlier this year, or do you believe more in the bad that you have seen from the Cubs recently? I think I saw too many good things to think the bottom is going to drop out. I think that they're just going to end up a lot more closely to where we all thought they would be. A few games under 500, maybe at 500, maybe they even push over a game over 500, but certainly there are issues, and Cubs need a win today. Simple as that. Marcus Stroman, the Stro Show, going at it today. Thanks to everybody for listening on Memorial Day. I hope you have a wonderful day today. Thanks to Clay Harbor for coming on. Andy Martinez talking Cubs from Wrigley Field as well. Thanks to Tyler Farengol for doing a great job of producing this show. Cubs baseball is next on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bye-bye.
Ron, is there anything else that you think they need or could use?
More Mark Grody.
Yeah. Mark Grody, beautiful man.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.